morning again. Good morning. Happy New Year. If your resolution was to go to church more often, good job. You're one for one. Brian said, Rob's kicking off a new series next week. So with him having a baby and everything, I was so excited just to kind of take a one-off week and have fun with you guys. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Mark chapter 7. I'm calling this message Heavy Ears, and I gave that title to Brandon, and he made that wonderful screen. So I, Brandon, he's the best. So as you turn to Mark chapter 7, I'd love to pray one more time and just recenter us. God, thank you for being a loving God who pursues relationship with us. I pray that this year would be a year of us deepening our faith, our trust, our willingness to love others, to be a servant. God, may this be a year your kingdom comes a little closer. Amen. So I spent some time last week in just scouring New Year's resolutions. Like, what's the vibe of our culture? What are we determining to do for a week and then stop after the New Year's? You know, that was a joke. Putting lists together, reading what everyone is saying, and so I have somewhat of a list of these are the most popular ones that I came across. Obviously, one is the healthier, lose weight, exercise more one, quit smoking, drinking, some other vice, new job, getting out of debt, saving more money, getting organized, more time with family, managing stress better, that was coming up a lot. A little too broad for me, just enjoy life. I need more information on what you think enjoying life is before I give that the approval thumbs up. Stop procrastinating, traveling, learning a language, less social media, TV, riding a bike more, a marathon, charity, having a baby. Any of you, is that your New Year resolution? I see a lot of heads shaking no. What was really intriguing to me as I was praying and thinking about this message and what are we talking about, not once in any list did I see anywhere that I see somebody say, I want to be a better listener in 2017. Not once. None of us want to be better listeners in 2017. With the students, we are going to be starting a series through the book Revelation. You're giving me a look like I'm insane, I know. I'm very excited about it. As I was looking at the beginning of the book, it goes to seven churches. And what was interesting to me is that each church gets their very own unique message from God. How cool, right, if we got a letter to Wilshire Avenue from Jesus. Or it encourages the church, and then it challenges them in some kind of a teaching, and it gives them a hope. Each church gets this letter, very unique to their own situation. But there was one phrase that was consistent in each of the seven churches, and it was this phrase, if you go to the next slide up there. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So I threw on the screens, that's each time that phrase is said to the seven churches. It's the only consistent thing said to all seven churches. This invitation to say, please be a listening community. Please be a church with ears to hear. Only thing repeated to all seven churches. Ever hear someone brag about their church? And I say that in like a positive, not in a negative way, but ever hear someone brag about their church? Like, my church is the best. We, you know, fill in the blank. Usually it's probably, we have the best music. We have the best preacher. We have the best facility. We have a guy named B-Max. Woo! That's what I brag when I brag about our church. You ever hear someone say, our church is the best. Wow, are we a people who listen? We are a community of listeners. Let me tell you about my church. Doesn't come up too often, does it? Think about some of the tensions we've had this year. Now, I'm kind of young. I'm in between. I'm like 37, so the junior hires think I'm really old, and the seniors here think I'm a kid still. I'm like in that in between. I feel like there were a lot of tensions in our country this year, and maybe the older, wiser people can speak on if that's true or if it's just I'm younger, but I felt like, wow, there's a lot of tensions this year for where I'm at in my life. A couple of the ones that stood out, felt like a lot of tensions with the police and different communities, especially the African-American community, felt like that was a major tension this year, where it was like you need to choose which side that you're on. Felt like politically, this was just like a really lot of tensions this year. A lot of whose side are you on? Not a lot of conversation, just a lot of fighting. This one's kind of up and coming, I think, too. The millennials and the boomers. I feel like you guys are fighting a lot. I'm Gen X, so I'm just eating the popcorn and watching you two fight each other. But I feel like that tension is getting really, really big. And also, you know, what color was that dress? That was a major tension this year, right? Thanks, I threw that in. So during this year, as these tensions were going on, did the church lead culture in being of people of listening? Did we lead that path? Did we show our world, this is what it looks like to listen to somebody with a different viewpoint? Did we lead the path on what does it look like for two people of opposing views to sit and have a beverage together and talk and really listen to one another? Did we listen to the Spirit this year? For me, the answer is no. Not as much as I wish. And it's something going forward. I hope this would be an incredible year for me to have ears that are listening to the Spirit of God, listening to other humans who have the Spirit of God within them. This really funny phrase, trying to find out how to talk about this idea, which I landed on heavy ears. I pulled it from Isaiah 6, verse 10. And talking about people not listening, the New Living says they plug their ears. I have this image of like a kid, right? They plug their ears in Isaiah 6:10. Other translations will say their ears were dull, their ears were hardened, they have dim ears, deaf ears. The Message Bible says they have fingers in their ears. The literal translations would be heavy ears to describe somebody not listening. And as I was reading about this, it was a very honest look in the Hebrew of saying, we don't have a language to describe somebody not listening. We have a language to describe not seeing because God gave us these things called eyelids, where God created you with the ability to stop seeing. You close your eyes. And that's where some of the language for the hearing, it sounds like not seeing, right? Like heavy ears sounds like heavy eyes. Dim. So what this author said is God created us with the ability to stop seeing, but God has not given us earlids. He never created us with the ability to stop hearing. And so it's hard to give a language to describe someone who's not listening because there's no earlids. There's no physical thing you can do. So heavy ears is the best I can give you for someone who is not listening. This struck me too in John chapter 12, 28 and 29. We'll have it on the screen there. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder. This scares me. Because what it's saying is the voice of God is speaking. And people heard like the noise of the voice of God, but to them it sounded like thunder. It sounded like white noise. What a scary way to describe our own lives, right? What if God is speaking to us, but it just sounds like noise? Like you hear a car backfiring, you're like, oh, there's a car. And like, oh, God's talking to you, Evan. You're just not listening right now. Your ears are dull. Your ears are heavy. I think this perfectly describes our culture right now as God is desperately trying to speak and reach out to us. And we just hear noise. What would it look like this year to be more in tune to what the Spirit is saying? And I think what's hard is this idea of listening. It's kind of not a part of our American culture, if you think about it. Because listening is saying, I'm going to take my beliefs and like momentarily kind of suspend them to say, I'm going to give you authority to rearrange my thoughts. I'm going to give you authority to change my opinion on some things. I'm going to admit I don't have all my thoughts perfectly aligned up. What do you have to say about my thoughts and my life? I'm going to listen. You know, if you have a spouse or a friend or a boss who says, hey, I need to speak into your life. I need to tell you something. If our immediate reaction is, don't tell me, I have it all figured out. What we're saying is, all my stuff is right. I don't want to even give the possibility that something in my life is not correctly arranged. And I'm not giving you that power to speak into that. And that's kind of like the history of our country, right? Is we're like, we want independence. We don't want to be told how to do things. We want to do it on our own. And part of me is like, I'm glad our ancestors did that because this is a great life here. But part of our American proud nationalism is, don't tell me what to do. I'm an independent, strong person. I make my decisions. Don't speak into my life. You want an example of this? I beg you not to do this. But if you're not convinced, go to a park and find a parent playing with their kids and go up to the parent and say, can I give you a couple of parenting suggestions? I think if you tweak some of your parenting style, you're really going to see the nurturing take off in your kid. And then run away. We're very careful about listening, aren't we? We're very guarded. So when we read things about heavy ears, it's like, I relate to that. I'm not a person who exudes listening. Now our text for this morning, Mark chapter 7. One day some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They notice some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. Now Mark's not writing to Jews, so I appreciate that he explains what that means. Because we don't know what that means either. And so Mark adds, if you don't know what the hand washing is, the Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is but one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washings of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Thanks, Mark. I needed that little tidbit. So they have all these rituals that they do. They wash their hands and their cups and their kettles and their spatulas and all their things. They wash everything meticulously in a certain way to make sure cleanliness is an important virtue. And what we need to notice is this is not, sometimes in the New Testament you see Jesus and the Pharisees talking about things that they accuse Jesus of ending. And Jesus is saying, that's not ended, that's fulfilled in me. Something like the Sabbath. Circumcision. They're like, Jesus, you are going against the law. And Jesus says, no, I'm the telos. I'm the point of the law. This is not one of those discussions. These washings, never in the scriptures anywhere. They just made this up. So this is not a Pharisee saying, this is the Torah. This is our law. Jesus, why aren't you doing this? This is, we invented our own system and rhythms of things that we do in our lives to honor God. And their assumption is, this is good. And Jesus, they go to Jesus, how come your disciples don't do this? Why don't their life rhythms match our life's rhythms? See, I connect to this. Don't we usually assume we're right? Like the parents in the room, don't you assume your parenting style is right? Whenever you buy a car, what does anyone always say? I got a great deal. I've never heard anyone say, I got ripped, but I got my car. It's always like, oh, I got my car and I got the best deal ever, right? What if in the community of God, in the church, we had a rhythm that would say, we would go to our life groups and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying a car. What do you guys think? You want to speak into my life? Here's my finances. Do you think this is a good idea or a bad idea? Hey, I'm thinking about getting a promotion. What do you think? You know my weaknesses and my strengths. You know where my family's at. Is this a good idea or a bad idea? Hey, we're thinking about doing this on a vacation. Should we do that or should we save the money? Where we'd be a people of listening instead of just assuming our instincts are right. Because Jesus' words are just fascinating to me. In verse 14, you see, he reveals the problem. The problem is not that the Pharisees are legalistic people who are trying to earn their way to heaven. That's not the problem. The problem is verse 14. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you, listen and try to understand. The problem is they weren't a people listening to the voice of God. They created their rhythms of their lives, and they were convinced these things that we do honor God. And now we just keep doing that. And Jesus comes and says, I'm going to flip your entire system and idea of God upside down. Are you willing to listen? Are you ready to actually let me rearrange your ideas in your life? Or are you going to hold fast and have heavy ears? Now, I love how we have stanzas and chapter divisions in the Bible. It makes it very easy to say, turn to Mark chapter 7, and you can find where I'm talking. But there's also a drawback. And sometimes we miss the holistic path like Mark is taking us on. So if you look down in Mark 7, verse 32, your Bible puts this probably at a new section. But Mark is taking us on a little journey here. In verse 32, a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man and heal him. So after interacting with the Pharisees, which Jesus says, you're not listening, are you willing to listen? Immediately, Jesus is now brought a deaf person and asked to heal him. You see where Mark's taking us. Bad news is we have a tendency to be a people who don't listen. Good news is we have a God who heals being deaf. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd so he could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then spitting on his own finger, he touched the man's tongue. This was the first wet willy ever. That'd go over huge in junior high group. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And instantly the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak. Now that word, the Ephphatha, it means to be opened. But it's a lot more intense and interesting than just like opening your eyes and opening your ears. Because again, your ears don't close. But it's being opened. It's the idea of like a chain with a lock that has imprisoned you. And the chain is being opened and you are now free. Being opened is this idea of by not listening, we have imprisoned ourselves. That God is trying to speak to us straight from his spirit and through other people. But if we are not listening, we are enslaved to our own devices. But the good news is Jesus says, let me free those chains off of you to listen. What would it look like if before you even went home today, you sat with your spouse, your best friend, your roommate, your child, and said, hey, if you wanted to speak into my life and tell me one thing about a pattern, a habit, or a rhythm that I have that you think is just not honoring God, what would you say? And our immediate reaction is not to get like defensive and reactionary, but to say, I'm actually gonna listen and put my stuff on hold and to really listen to what God or a loved one might say to me. If we took what they said to heart, Is it possible that we would actually be freed from something that is not healthy for us? Something that our staff brought up with us a couple weeks ago was like, hey, what we want to do is just get all of our pastors, just write down your schedule. Like, what's a typical week look like for you as a pastor? Write it down and then bring it to us and we're going to talk about it together. And like, no, I don't like that idea. My schedule's fine, thanks. But what would I be scared of? It's my insecurities, right? For me to write down my schedule and to bring it into some bosses that I know have the best interest for me, for the students, for the church, for my family, and to say, here's my schedule, I'm going to submit it to you, and say, I grant you the power to speak into my life, and I'm actually going to listen with an open heart. Is it possible they might pick up on something in my schedule that's holding me back, that's enslaving me? And if I listen to this input, I'm going to get freed to do greater things. What would it look like if we came to God and said, God, speak to me. I'm ready to listen. And the connotation is not like the principal calling you into the office. Like, okay, Linda, let's go. Let's go to the conference room. We need to sit and have a talk. But the illustration God has given us is the dinner table. God invites us to sit at the table for conversation. I want to invite you this morning as we prepare to take communion, come to the table with a heart that says, Jesus, I am open. Speak into my heart. I'm ready to listen. And maybe God will grant you a word. Maybe he'll give you a word for a loved one. But to say, I don't want heavy ears. I don't want ears that shut everyone off and assume my own washings are just great and my life is great and I honor God and everything is good. But what if there's something in our lives that needs to get rearranged? Come to the table. Eat with your Heavenly Father. And listen, and maybe you'll hear Ephatha whispered into your ear, and you'll be desperately freed from something this morning. Let's pray. King Jesus, we come to your table. Thank you for giving us a table, not a boardroom, not a conference room, not a stool that we sit in the corner, not a lecture hall, but God, you give us a dinner table. May we break bread and drink juice with you and our church body this morning. May the conversations flow and fly. God, may we open our heavy ears and listen to what you have to say. Listen to what our loved ones have to say. Not to earn anything, God, but simply to honor you and to honor our neighbor with all that we can. Amen.